Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
If your partner is critical towards you and gets angry when you bring it up, is it verbal abuse? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast. Is hurtful language verbal abuse? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question that you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And let's not forget, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. And this week, we're answering a question from Diane of Huntsville, Alabama. And Diane writes, I listen to and enjoy your podcast every week and appreciate your perspective and your sage advice. Well, thanks, Diane. But I think you missed the main point in this week's podcast. Well, you might be right. Let's find out. Angie's description of her husband's behavior makes it clear that he is verbally abusive to her. If we don't call out verbal abuse, aren't we enabling it? I was in a verbally abusive relationship for several years, and it wasn't until I read the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, that I learned what was going on. When I realized I was being verbally abused, I was able to end the relationship, and I'm so much happier now. Why didn't you call out verbal abuse? Well, thanks, Diane. I have to admit the concept did occur to me, and you are raising an important issue. When do we use the word abuse to describe what's going on in a relationship? And you've brought our attention to her acclaimed book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, in which Patricia Evans describes the use of two types of power, power over and personal power. Power over implies dominance and control over another person. Personal power, on the other hand, implies a personal confidence that allows one to be vulnerable and collaborative in relationship, caring about what the other person wants and needs, in addition to what you as the as an individual, what you want and need. So, in Patricia Evans' book, the verbal abuser is always the man, and the abuser's partner or victim is always the woman. Now, Ms. Evans acknowledges that women can be verbal abusers as well, but that with men, it's more common, and there are nuanced differences in how it manifests in men and women. So In her work, she's focused on the male abuser and the female partner of the abuser dynamic. Now, in my psychotherapy practice, I commonly see it both ways. And of course, I see abusive dynamics in gay and lesbian relationships as well. So Ms. Evans describes verbal abuse as words that attack or injure, that cause one to believe the false, or that speak falsely of one. Verbal abuse constitutes psychological violence. So by this description, at least some of the time, all of us have been abused, and most of us have been abusers. So whenever couples fight with any name-calling or judgment of the other person, they're verbally abusing. What happens, we'd ask, if your partner calls you a name and judges your motives, and you simply say, I see you're upset, and I'm happy to hear what you are upset about, but I don't accept name calling, and if you want to know my motives, you need to ask because your assumptions are wrong. In this case, you aren't allowing those words to have power over you. What if instead you fight back and call them names and make judgments about their character? What happens then? Are you an abuser? Are you both abusers? What happens if you doubt your own boundaries and limits and your entitlement to respectful behavior or treatment? What happens if you place a higher priority on accommodating another person than having and being clear about your own boundaries? In this case, would you be allowing their behavior to have power over you? Are you abusing yourself? So we could ask the question, is it abuse if the recipient of the derogatory words sets limits and doesn't accept them? Are the same derogatory words abusive if the recipient doesn't set limits and accepts them? These are difficult questions, so I've tried to bring some perspective on the varying circumstances here. And before we go any further, no, we should not be using derogatory words towards our partners, period. We do need to discuss what to call it when it happens and what to call it when your partner is not responding thoughtfully to your emotional needs. Whether or not someone feels hurt or abused by their partner's hurtful words or actions has to do with several things. It has to do with culture, temperament, emotional maturity, and personal boundaries. It has to do with the length of time that the hurtful words and behavior are used in a relationship. It has to do with the intent of the person using the hurtful words. Let's go through these a little bit. Culture. Now, some cultures use harsher language, and when that's the case, people are a lot less likely to take what's being said personally. Also, in some cultures, people expect their emotional needs to be met by their spouse, and in other cultures, not. And still, harsh and derogatory language, even in a culture that supports it, can be hurtful. And it can be destructive. But perhaps not as much as in a culture where it's a different thing. It's not part of the culture. Let's look at temperament. Now, some people are simply more sensitive than others. So any off-the-cuff remark or loud expressions of emotion could be construed or experienced hurtfully, and it could be felt as abuse. Whereas someone who's got a more competitive spirit or a more easygoing spirit could go, yeah, whatever, and kind of move on down the road. Emotional maturity. Some people have developed strong, healthy self-esteem and have learned not to take what others say or do personally, and perhaps can even maintain compassion for others while being talked to negatively. Let me give you an example. Think of an upset child who screams, "I hate you," when their parent sets a limit, and the parent is able to acknowledge and validate their disappointment without taking their child's words personally. Now, it's a heck of a lot harder with your partner, but the same concept applies. They're expressing their feelings inappropriately and hurtfully, but it's generated by their feelings, and it isn't a statement about their partner. It isn't a statement about the person being yelled at. Okay, then there's the length of time the hurtful verbal behavior has been going on. Sometimes the hurtful verbal behavior starts off slowly, and then over time it becomes the norm. And this can lead to what is often called frog in the pot syndrome. It is said that if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it will jump right out. But if you were to put the same frog in a pot of cold water and gradually bring it to a boil, the frog wouldn't notice the change and would boil to death. And you can see the metaphor here. After a long time in a gradually increasingly destructive relationship, a person will wear down and lose their sense of self-esteem and even their sense of reality, often thinking they deserve the hostile behavior or that they're causing it, and that they no longer have the emotional stamina to do anything about it. Now, had the relationship started off that way, they would never have stayed in it. And then let's talk about the intent of the person using the destructive language. Often people using hurtful or destructive language have not learned to manage their emotions or learned to communicate their emotions in a positive way. They never would want to be hurtful, it's just that that's what they know. And then there are those individuals who are similarly underdeveloped in the area of emotional communication, but also have the desire to hurt others. And as Patricia Evans describes it, they have the desire to use their power over others, but they take it a step further and they enjoy it when they hurt others or win at others' expense. That's the only way they believe they can survive, and it's the way they see the world. They see the world in win-lose terms, and they think the way to win is to demonstrate the ability to hurt others, and they do their best to do it just as well as they can. They bully, and they don't have caring or empathy for the people they've hurt. In other words, they're very immature people with too much power. Make sense? All right. Now, you can see that I'm somewhat reluctant to use the term abuse, and particularly the term abuser. It's a static term, and it characterizes someone as having pretty much only this characteristic and not being capable of changing or growing. So, in a sense, it's name-calling a name-caller. I'd rather talk about the behavior in specific terms than to label the person doing it. Also, we can think of verbal or emotional abuse as on a continuum, from some occasionally hurtful words and behaviors to chronically and intentionally hurtful words and behaviors. And yet, Diane, I've referred many, many clients to Patricia Evans' books over the years because simply seeing it in black and white, seeing the behavior, the syndrome, seeing yourself described in her examples and having a name for it can be extremely validating to someone experiencing it, just as it was validating and eye-opening for you. So Ms. Evans' suggestions for dealing with abusive behavior are also quite excellent, and it makes the book definitely a go-to book for someone who's feels like they're in a relationship where they're not getting their needs met, and every time they try to talk about it, they get put down. I think it's an excellent resource. And as I talked about last week, we do not want to accept derogatory language or behavior, and we do want to be in a relationship where as a couple and as individuals, we learn and we grow. Now, as a therapist, whether or not we label the behavior as abusive or hurtful or anything else depends on what will work best. In one case, you could call the behavior hurtful, and then the other person could say, oh, well, hurtful? Get over it. There's lots of hurtful stuff that goes on out there. Toughen up. Well, then I guess hurtful isn't the best word to use. You could call it abusive. And then another person could say, oh, great. I earn all the money, bring it home to you. I don't get drunk or have sex with other women, and you're calling me abusive? So, you know, we have to find ways as therapists to be helpful and to break patterns and to move people into learning and growing relationships. The word abusive can be extremely useful when it's apropos and when it's helpful. So if you find yourself stuck in a relationship where you can't talk about your needs and feelings, you need to start by talking about not being able to talk about your needs and feelings and assert that you want your life and your relationship to be about learning and growing. So whatever the hell we call it, abuse, hurtful behavior, we want to be in relationships where our feelings and our needs are valued, and we can talk about problems and difficult feelings. That often requires work on both people's part. So let's do our work, since we can't do our partner's work for them. Then, at the end of the day, if you don't have a partner willing to engage learning and growing with you, you just might want to do what Diane did and leave the relationship. On the other hand, you could be surprised by what you find out when you stand up for yourself. And if you do it in a positive way, not only will you discover that your partner accepts you and you're in your new personally empowered position, you might discover that everyone else does too. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, listeners. You know, word of the Healthy Family Connections podcast is growing, and the number of listens and listeners each week has grown enormously. But the last iTunes review was last summer. So could you do me a huge favor? Please post a brief review for me on iTunes. It would mean a lot to me. And please remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.